The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God, and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel. Our sermon text today is John chapter 10, 22 to 30, the gospel lesson that was just read. The sermon title is "Jesus' Sheep Hear His Voice." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most favorite images of Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. You can find stained glass, paintings, and sculptures of Jesus as the Good Shepherd in countless churches across America, not just Lutheran ones. You can find similar images in the homes of many Christians. It's a favorite image because it reminds us that Jesus is both our protector and provider of all of our needs. It is a biblical image because it is based on Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, which includes our sermon text this morning. Our text today reports an occasion in which Jesus was in Jerusalem for the festival of dedication. This was not a festival commanded by God through Moses, but it came from the period of the Maccabees. That's between the Old and New Testament. We know this festival today as Hanukkah. It celebrated the reconsecration of the Jerusalem temple on December 14, 164 BC. The temple had been erected after the Babylonian captivity, and this temple still stood in Jesus' day, and it had some additions from the time of Herod the Great. As Jesus was walking in this temple, some Jews came up to him and asked him to tell them clearly whether he was the Messiah, that is, the Christ. He rebuked them for their unbelief. He had told them this many times. He had also done miracles that, according to the law, proved that what he was saying was true. He then said, "You do not believe me because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In verse 31, after our text, "Then they took up stones to stone him to death." And in verse 39, after a few more words, they tried to seize him, but he eluded their grasp. In this text, Jesus used the imagery of the Good Shepherd to rebuke the Jews in the temple. We think of it a comforting word, but he used it as a rebuke. He told them, "You are not of my flock." Well, why did he say this? Because they were not listening to what he was saying with the intent of believing and applying his words to their faith and life. They were only listening to Jesus with the intent to criticize him and, if possible, to trap him in his own words. Jesus has the same effect today on people. Some people listen to the words of Jesus in church with the intent of believing, taking those words to heart, and applying his words to their faith and life. These people are what the Bible calls believers because they believe Jesus' words. And I hope and assume, and I know all of you, that you are all believers. Other people study the words of Jesus in universities and other settings with the intent of criticizing his words and, if possible, setting traps for believers. And this latter group of folks are what the Bible calls unbelievers. And this includes people who just don't want to hear about Jesus at all. So there are two groups, according to Jesus, believers and unbelievers. And they have different predispositions. That's an important word for our text, trying to understand what's being said here. Predispositions. In other words, they are predisposed to either hear the word of God or to reject it. This is explained by Martin Luther in his Small Catechism, the explanation to the third article of the Creed, which states, "I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and preserved me in the one true faith." Now, everybody, me included, is predisposed from birth to be an unbeliever. You have by nature, that is what's given to you from birth, neither the intelligence nor the willpower to believe in Jesus or be part of his flock. Unbelievers are then simply doing what comes naturally. But if this is so, how does anyone believe or acquire a predisposition to believe? The effective cause of belief is the Holy Spirit. It's his most important work. The instrumental cause of belief, how the Holy Spirit works, is the gospel. Martin Luther explains how this works in his large catechism under the third article. He says, quote, "The work of Christ is finished and complete. Christ has acquired and won the treasure for us by his suffering, death, and resurrection, etc. But if this work remained hidden and no one knew of it, it would all have been lost and in vain. So in order that this treasure might not be buried, but put to use and be enjoyed, God has caused the word to be published and proclaimed, in which he has given the Holy Spirit." Catch that. "In which he has given the Holy Spirit to offer and apply to us the treasure of salvation." End of quote from Luther. Now, this seems to be a conundrum. It doesn't make sense how we normally think of cause and effect. You need to have the Holy Spirit to believe the Word of God. But the Word of God is how you get the Holy Spirit. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? If you are naturally predisposed to rejecting the Word of God, how would you ever receive the Holy Spirit and so believe? Well, this conundrum has puzzled Christian theologians since the time of St. Augustine in the 5th century. And Christian churches and theologians give various different answers. But the answer is not that difficult. The answer to this theological conundrum is found in the biblical teaching about baptism. Luther's Small Catechism, in the explanation to the third question about baptism, states, "Baptism is a gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul wrote to Titus 3, 5 to 8. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. This saying is sure. That's the end of the quote from Luther. So in holy baptism, whether you're an infant and a child or adult, you receive the Holy Spirit and faith. The application of water and God's word regenerates and renews your soul in the Holy Spirit richly through Jesus Christ, as St. Paul said in the previous quote. Your baptism predisposes you toward faith and belief in the Word of God. So when children are baptized as infants or children, this prepares their hearts and minds for the Word of God as they grow up in the church. Of course, they have to grow up in the church to hear the Word. The two go together. And they may, of course, at some time later, decide to reject that Word and their faith. Now, this is the reason that God sent John the Baptist to the Jewish people before their Messiah appeared. Mark 1:5 says that all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to John and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. It says all the people in Judea and Jerusalem, all of them went out and they were all baptized. They were not just Jews, they were baptized Jews. So all the Jews, both young and old, were baptized in Jesus' day before they heard him start preaching. But some rejected the baptism of John and Jesus too. And we see that in our gospel lesson today. Now, does that mean that people who are not baptized as infants can never be saved? Well, no. The unbaptized are not predisposed to hear and believe. But in certain situations, such as when they are faced with death, and they're grasping around for anything, they may hear and believe the gospel. And this is what happened in the case of the thief on the cross. After his confession of sins, which he understood because he was a convicted criminal, Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." But then the other thief, who had heard the same thing, also faced with his mortality, rejected Jesus. Excuse me. So when you boy, my throat's really choking up today. I'm thinking about my mom, of course. No. When you understand the proper relationship between faith, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, you can see what a great blessing God has bestowed upon us, weak, poor, miserable sinners, and really rebels against God, through giving us holy baptism. Through simple water and a few words, human beings who otherwise reject God's Word are given a heart and a mind to believe it. Now, they may always later reject God's word and refuse to hear it. But if they believe, no one else and nothing else can take away that faith and salvation from them once the word of God is believed. And this is what Jesus meant in our text when he said, "I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Verse 28. I pray that each one of you will always hear your shepherd's voice in God's word and follow him, so that you will receive eternal life with all the saints. In Jesus' name, amen.